Amen. Let's all take our Bibles, if you wouldn't mind, and to stand and turn to Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Joshua chapter 6. We made it. We made it. The chapter. Jericho is here. So Joshua chapter 6. We're going to take this chapter in a few stabs. And tonight our reading is chapter 6, verse 1 through verse number 16. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse 1 says this. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. 7 priests shall bear before the ark, 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And we know already this story probably, but if this is the first time you heard that, we're like, what is going on? Why are we doing this? Verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed it the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Now it sounds like I read the verses twice. Like I read the verses and then I went ahead and read the verses again. The reason it sounds like that is because here's what happened. God told them what to do, and then they did what God told them to do. That's good. Let's pray and be done. That's all you need to know. Hear what God says, and then do it. But I'll find a way to keep you here for longer.
Okay.
But the sermon is this. Trust God's plan. Trust God's plan. Let's pray and get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to hear your instructions. Lord, even as Joshua and the people did, they heard your instructions word for word. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be like they were in this passage, God, that we would hear your instructions and not second guess you and not or question you, but to obey. Just trust you, obey you, and follow you and watch as you give us city after city. So I pray that you help us tonight. Help me as I declare your word tonight. And most of all, that you'd be glorified through it. In Christ's name I pray, amen, amen, you may be seated. And so we finally made it to Israel's first fight. We've been talking about it for forever, it seems like, getting ready. And that's just how it is, though, isn't it? That before you get into a spiritual battle, you got to prepare. And that's kind of what God did with Israel. I mean, this was a big deal. They, as we said, have wandered through the wilderness for years and years, and now God's finally bringing them into the promised land. And we said it will help us as we go through Joshua to think of Canaan as sanctification. That's really what God was doing. Now, he was doing that nationwide, wasn't he? He was sanctifying Israel nationwide, bringing Israel from where they were in the wilderness. He'd already saved them from captivity in Egypt. He had brought them through the wilderness, and now God wants to bring Israel from the wilderness and make them the nation that God intended them to be. God's always planned for them to be a great nation. He planned for them to be a great nation militarily. He planned for them to have a great land. He planned for them to be great economically. He planned for them to be a powerhouse there in the region. But most of all, and really undergirding all of that, if it's going to work as God's nation, is they have to be a great nation spiritually, don't they? And so God is bringing them both spiritually and physically into the promised land and developing them and bringing them to where God intends them to be. And that's the process of sanctification, isn't it? That's the process of taking us from where we are and to where God wants us to be. And it's never a one-time leap, is it? We never jump over the Grand Canyon to the other side. God's plan is for us to get to the other side, but it's always step by step. And I'm going to remind you about this in the Christian life. This will help you, is that you don't need to compare yourself with anybody else, and you don't need to be discouraged because you're not where you want to be. Let me help you with this. You're never, ever going to be where you want to be. And if you feel like you are spiritually where you want to be, you are further away than you ever thought possible. Because it's when we feel comfortable where we are spiritually, it's when we feel that we've arrived, that we're like the Pharisees, aren't we? Remember the Pharisee? Jesus told the parable of a man who was a sinner who was down on his face and begging God for mercy because he knew he needed it. And then we had the Pharisee who was standing there in the temple thanking God for how great he was and basically telling God how thankful God must be that he's his child. And that's the Pharisee. And because the Pharisee felt like he had it all figured out. If you're here this morning and we learned a little bit about the Pharisees, they made a law that was keepable and then they kept it. Imagine that. And then they thought they were right with God. And I think sometimes we're guilty of that, of in our mind crafting what we think it means to be a spiritual Christian. And obviously, if we make the rules, we're going to make them rules that we can keep, and we keep them, and then we thumb our nose at those who don't keep our rules, when if we're being honest and looking at our life compared to the book, we're fall short, don't we? And we will, till the end of time, we will. And so we're not going to gauge our spiritual life by being arrived at the place that God wants us to be and being the perfect Christian. That's not going to happen until we get to heaven. The way we gauge whether or not we're right with God is if we're taking steps, you see. Is that we're heading toward where God wants us to be. And we're taking steps that direction. And when we look back, we're further than we were before. That's the Christian life. That's the life of sanctification. And so what that means is we're all on a different path, aren't we? We're all at a different place in our sanctification. And it'll help us as you look at other people and put expectations on people that you ought not. What we ought to do is just help them take their next step, you see. Their next step and their next step. Progress is what matters here. And so progress is what was happening here. And God brought them through the Jordan River. Remember that? That was pretty incredible. And we're just not going to spend a lot of time on that, but that was a miracle of God. They got the stones from the base of the river. They brought them to Gilgal. And then when they got there, they weren't quite ready. Gilgal was right at the brink of Jericho, but they weren't quite ready. They had to go back, didn't they? And they had to clean up some things. And they had sometimes a step forward is first a step backwards to take care of some things that we've maybe skimped along the way. You know, as if you think about math and how it works, you can't just skip over certain math subjects and think you're going to go forward. No, sometimes you forgot how to do multiplication. You better go back and figure it out. And that's where Israel was. There are some things that before they can go forward, they had to go back and get some things made right before they can keep going. And that was the area of circumcision and the area of the Passover meal. And they got that all figured out. And then last time, God himself appeared Remember that God himself, Christ himself, a Christophany, appeared to Joshua physically as a warrior, sword and drawn. It's time to go. But remember, Joshua, he says, remember when you go, that I am not going to fight for you. You are going to fight for me, you see. And I'm going to give you the strength, but I'm not on your side. You need to be on my side. Remember that? Remember when Joshua said, so, friend or foe, you for us or you against us? And what did he say? No. Because God's not for us and God's not for them. We need to be on God's side. And as long as we're following God's way, and as long as we're heading God's direction, then He is for us, but He's not default for us. We need to get on His side, and that's where Joshua and the nation was. And by the way, it's evident by how they respond in this battle that they were just doing what God wanted. That was what they wanted. They wanted to, it wasn't a popularity contest. It wasn't me versus them. It's me following God, and that's it. And so they're ready to follow God. They've been sanctified, they've been purified, and they're ready to follow. And during all of this time, verse 1 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None came out, none came in. Now, if you remember back, we learned from Rahab, didn't we, that that Jericho was scared of Israel. We found out that the residents of Jericho were filled with terror because of the army of Israel. And so there's no doubt that during this time, as they were getting things right, as they were setting up camp in Gilgal, as they were doing the process of circumcision and doing the thing with Passover and taking all this time to do all of these things, that there's no doubt but that Jericho was getting ready for battle. They were gearing up. They were getting there, as verse 2 says, the men of valor ready. And the king was putting a battle strategy. And they were getting all ready to fight Israel. Even though they're scared out of their minds, they know it's battle time. And so they're getting ready this whole time. And by the way, so was Israel, right? Israel wasn't sharpening their swords. They weren't getting in battle stances. But Israel was getting right with God. Because if this battle was going to be won, it was God who was going to do it. And all of this that that Jericho was doing, it wasn't going to do them any good. Why? Because here's what Joshua 6:2 says. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho. It's already done. They can try as much as they want. They can train as much as they want. But God's already given the city to Israel. The king thereof, the mighty men of valor, all these people who are ready to fight. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much training. God's already given them the victory. Israel just had to go claim the victory. And so God tells them how to do that. In verses 3 to 5, we heard the battle plan, right? We read it twice. God gave the battle plan. The battle plan had nothing to do with ladders that would scale the wall. It had nothing to do with battering rams to bust down the wall. God's plan was this. It was for the army of Israel and the Ark of God, and seven priests with seven trumpets of ram's horns to march around the city and blow trumpets and then march back to camp. This was the plan, you see. And we've heard the story potentially, maybe some in here haven't, but a lot of us have, and we know how this ends up. But Joshua wouldn't have known that. And they were supposed to do this for 6 days in a row. Get up, walk around with the Ark. With the ark, yeah, okay, good. But then you get done and you blow trumpets and you go back. And, you know, there's all this, you know, if you want to read commentaries, there's all this explanation. You know, obviously the ark is the presence of God, yes. And the trumpets are there and they represent potentially, you know, God's presence. You know, there's whenever God showed up at Mount Sinai, remember that? It says that there's sounds like trumpets that came out, and so maybe they're, you know, declaring the presence of God. And all of this is good and fine. Here's the reality. We don't know the significance of all these things. God doesn't tell us the significance of all these things. I'm here to tell you that the point is not for us to get our nerd glasses out and figure out what all these things mean. Here's the point. God said this, they're supposed to do this. And I think that God had in mind to make this a little bit unusual on purpose, because it's not like this every time. There's times where there's stuff that makes a lot of sense. Remember Gideon, how genius that was, and breaking the jars and the lights were shining, and thinks there's hosts of people, and there's sometimes some intricate battle planning, but this first battle, I think God's setting them up here to just trust him. And I think the point of this is for us to know this makes no sense. It makes no sense. So on the seventh day, they would walk around the city seven times. And then the priests would blow and everyone would shout. And when they did, the walls would just fall down. This is the battle plan. And if you're a military leader like Joshua, who's led Israel through countless battles as Moses' man, he was a battle strategist, and you couldn't think, listen, as on human standards, you cannot think of a more unreasonable strategy than this strategy. What's to prevent the army of Jericho from just raining arrows on them as they march around? You know, what, do they have these huge shields like the Grecians? No, they don't got any of that. After the second or third day, Jericho might have even been able to predict exactly where they're going. It was the same every day, and they might have figured out the best way to rush the city's gates and just flank them and slaughter them. Who knows? If you're thinking like a military commander, you know, and how is any of this supposed to make a fortified wall fall down? And if it did fall down, what if it fell on them? Because they're walking right by the wall. You see? And so, as a military leader, Joshua may have had all these. And he may, and there's a good chance he had some of these thoughts flowing through his mind. But here's the thing. Unlike Moses, do you remember when God told Moses the plan of the burning bush? You know what Moses did? God, this makes no sense, right? And he argued with God for a little while, didn't he? And he said, I can't speak. I can't do this. And they won't accept me. And they know I've been living a cush life and, you know, in the palace, and they all don't like me anyway. And excuse after excuse after excuse as to why God's plan won't work. And, you know, it's so foolish to think about it from that side, isn't it? If we think about it, humanly speaking, about what God told Joshua, we're like, yeah, this makes no sense, and you're foolish to do it. But if you're thinking right, and you know who God is, and you know that God said to do this, why are you arguing with God? Right? And Moses argued with God, and Joshua didn't make that mistake, did he? Joshua didn't do that. He just responded with unquestioning obedience. Look at verse 6. And Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests. This is right after God gave the plan. God gave the plan. The next thing we see is Joshua is giving the plan to the people. That's a man of God, isn't it? A man of God is someone who gets with God. He gets the plan. He doesn't need to sugarcoat it. He doesn't need to understand it all the way. He doesn't need to rationalize God's ways. What he needs to do is hear from God and tell people what God said. Hear from God and tell people what God said. And I think sometimes preachers, especially nowadays, are doing their best to try to make sense of everything God does. And they're trying to find out why God said we're supposed to do this. And there's some validity to that, and there's times for that. But there is a danger in that. Because as we do that, sometimes we put God in a box. And we start to take the commands of a holy, infinite God and sift them through the reasoning of us, who are dumb. And if it was up to us, then, you know, we've already messed it up. You know? Our thinking isn't getting us anywhere. We need to trust God's thinking. And it doesn't have to make full sense. I think there's a place for apologetics. If you don't know what that is, that's where you kind of explain to people why, you know, these things make sense, why hell, you know, is righteous and all of that, as Brother Diorio did. There's places for that. Why creation makes sense, why all these things make sense, and kind of prove why rationality that what God says is true. And there is a place for that, but there is a danger in that. Because God is God, and his ways are higher than ours. And God doesn't always have to tell us why. God is not obligated to explain himself to us. He's not. Nope. No more than I'm obligated to explain to my 2-year-old why she can't play in the street. There are some things that Kara is not going to understand, no matter how much I sit with her, no matter how much I explain it to her. And then there's some things that Milo will understand more than Kara, but there's still a lot of things. And if you have a teenager, you will explain yourself to death before they understand, and they're still going to hate you, but you still say no. Because you don't have to explain to them everything. And we can understand that with a parent-to-child relationship, but how much more infinite is the gap between the Creator and us? And there are some things that he explains, and there is a place for rationality to a point. But as his people, we need to be okay with saying, God said it, I don't understand, but I don't need to, I know God said it. You see, and that's where Joshua is. He doesn't understand this. There's no way he could, but he's just going to do what God said. And so he heard from God. He told the plan. He told the plan to the priests. Here's what God says for you to do. He told the plan to the rest of the people. Here's what God said for you to do, when he gave instructions, and we read them. And then here's what's really cool. Look in verse 8. Joshua got done giving the plan, and it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horn passed on. Well, what is that all about? Well, they're doing it. They're just starting to do it. And so here's what we see. We see God giving them. This is why it felt like we read it over and over and over. Here's the process. And here's, if we want to be the people God wants us to be, if God wants us as a church to win battles that God wants us to win, here's the process. God was going to tell the man of God. The man of God's going to tell the people, and the people are going to do it. And this is the plan that this is what unfolded in our eyes, and why it sounded so repetitive, because it was repetitive, because God said it, and you know, it was written down, the instructions from God. And then it was written down, Joshua was saying the same instructions to the people. And then he wrote down how the people did what God said and what Joshua said. And that's it. That's it, right? And the whole time, this thing makes no sense. But there's no questioning. There's just doing and doing and doing. And so they did it. The people just responded. The priests followed the plan in verse 8. The armies followed the plan in verses 9 and 10. And they just unquestionably obeyed God. And then that's what they did. Verse 11. So the ark of God, of the Lord, can pass the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And this is the process. Yeah. So the distance around Jericho is about 1,000 feet. 1,000 feet. It would have taken about half an hour, less than half an hour. And so they got up, they marched to Jericho, marched around the city for half an hour, and then to the surprise of all the people in Jericho who were freaked out, you know what they're expecting. They're thinking, man, these guys are going to come up. Our walls are just going to combust into flames or something. They're scared out of their mind. And they're, you know, you can see them looking out. Here comes Israel, who we're scared. And they come, and here they are. They're walking around. What's going to happen? And then they leave. What? Yep. And then they did it again. And again and again. For 6 days in a row, they just came, walked around, blew the horn, left. No indication that anyone is questioning what they're doing, complaining that this is dumb or it makes no sense. They just followed the orders as given, as if this was some kind of normal military procedure. And really, in a sense, it was, right? What do you do in the military? You hear what the commander says, you do what the commander says. You don't need to ask what the commander thinks or why he said what he said. You just do it. And that's what they're doing. They're listening to the commander, the one Christ who was there in chapter 5 with the sword drawn. And he said, go ahead and march around the city, you blow the horn and come back. And they did. And listen, this couldn't have been easy. Every day they did this, they just opened themselves to more danger. Because, you know, as they do this, the second or third day, Jericho's catching on and getting probably less scared and maybe more ready to attack. And every day, they're opening themselves up more and more to Jericho. They're opening themselves up more and more, by the way, to ridicule, right? As this walled city, this fortified military city, is watching these people walk around and no doubt beginning to even ridicule them. Maybe starting to think that Israel didn't have a plan. There's a temptation here that the armies of Israel would begin to feel embarrassed, begin to feel frustrated, because it feels like they're getting nothing done. Walk up, walk around, walk back. But day after day, I believe this is why God had them do it. We can't know. God doesn't tell us why. But why he did it day after day was because here's what they had to do. Day after day, they had to determine to just trust God and trust his plan. And in the first 3-4 days, nothing happened. The fifth day, what did they do? Well, God, what do you want us to do? Okay, we'll walk around again. And day after day, they had to make a determination to put what they thought was the right way aside and just get the orders from the commander. No matter what they thought, and no matter what anyone else thought, they were just going to do what God said. All that mattered to them was that they knew who God was. They knew God's plan. They knew for sure that this is what God wanted. Now, I will say this. This isn't some kind of hunch. We need to be careful that on the other ditch that we get some kind of hunch and, you know, our flesh tells us something, or just maybe insecurities tell us that we think it's God and we go off and do something dumb and blame God for it. No, we need to make sure that when we do something like this, that we know it's what God said. You understand? We need to make sure it's what God said. We don't need to go out there and do foolish things and think that if I do a foolish thing, then God can work. That's not how it is. God doesn't tell us to go out and do something dumb and then have him pick up the slack. No, but sometimes we know what God says to do and it makes no sense to us. And we need to be okay with that. We just need to follow him. And they knew for sure it was God. And if you know for sure it's God, then there's no questioning. The questioning and the battle and the struggle needs to be, is this God, you see, for us? We need to make sure this is what God says. And how do we know that? Well, we just happen to have an entire Bible that gives us instruction. And God gives you a man of God that I can help and be separated from your situation, from the emotion and from the feelings. And just look at your situation biblically and try to help you with the Word of God and get counsel. God's given you, no doubt, other Christian friends that can give you godly counsel. And make sure that what you're doing is lined up with Scripture. But if you know that it's what God wants, once you know that, once you have confidence in that, and you've prayed about it, and you know this is what God wants, if you know it's what God wants, then you just need to do it. You just need to do it if you know it's what God wants. If someone's offended you, God wants you to go talk to them and try to seek reconciliation, not blast them over the head, but go talk to them. God wants you to do that. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you're not married and they're not Christian, God wants you to quit it. How do you know? God said. What did God say? He said, be not unequally yoked together. It doesn't matter how you feel. You say, God said it, I'm doing it. God wants you to be modest and cover yourself for God's sake. It is almost summer. And there is a world out there that says to look good, you've got to be immodest and all this. No, but God says we got to cover ourselves. God says that we should give 10% of what we make to him, the first fruits, the first 10, and trust him with the rest. How do I know that? Well, because God said it. And none of these things have to make sense to us. God says he wants you to go and talk to your friends and family about the Lord. And you say, no, that's scary and I might look dumb. Well, they looked dumb and that was kind of scary. But we do what God tells us to do. And if we know it's what God says, we do it. You see. And we don't have to rationalize it. And we don't have to try to make it make sense of it. We just have to know what God says and follow what God says. And if we do that, we'll see the walls come down. You see. Yeah. And so they did. That's all that mattered to them. Their faith in God was more powerful than their fear of danger and their fear of ridicule. They were just going to follow God. And so then on the seventh day, just as God said, they marched around the city 7 times. And this time, as they marched 7 times, that would have taken about 3 hours. And so for 3 hours, they marched around Jericho. And then Joshua 6:16 says, and it came to pass, at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Just as confident as the beginning. Nothing's happened yet. Nothing's happened. No wall has crumbled. No cracks in the foundation. No, not. I bet you what they did have was gone. I bet you the people of Jericho that were scared and the morale, you know, as a military leader, that's almost what you want most, is for the enemy to be scared out of their mind. That's probably gone by now. They're probably all feeling good about themselves because all Israel can do is walk around our wall. They've got nothing. And so and nothing's happened. And as far as humanly speaking, it actually looks worse probably than when they started. But Joshua is as confident as ever. Do you know why he's as confident as ever? Because he knows he's done what God said. And God said when he's done, the walls will fall down. And that's where we need to be as a church, you see. And you live day by day following God and you're doing what God says, but if sometimes it feels like day after day, week after week, month after month, nothing has happened. I feel like I've made no progress on an outward sense. And this situation that I've been struggling with doesn't seem to be getting better. In fact, in some ways, it almost feels like it's getting worse. But it doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter how it's really going. Here's what matters. Are you still following God? Yes. Okay, well, then it's going to be fine. Let's see. That's faith in action. That's faith in action. For 7 long days, Israel had followed God's plan without question, and Joshua had full confidence that God would do as he promised. Next time, we'll see how it all turned out. Sneak peek, but Joshua 6:20 says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." And so it worked out. It worked out. And that's how it is when you follow God. You don't know when, you don't know how, always, but here's what you know. God knows best. God's plan is best. God loves you. God wants best for you. And so what we do is we just follow God in this. And following God's plan doesn't always make sense from the world's perspective. Now, following God's plan, I want to say this, doesn't always look this crazy. It doesn't always look this unusual. God often works through the natural processes of life. And usually what happens is God has written laws about how to live, and it just looks normal. You just live the normal Christian life, you follow God day by day, and it's usually not this crazy and this chaotic. And by the way, this spectacular at the end, walls, and bah, you know, it's not always like that. But I think the reason God started here, this is their first battle, isn't it? This is their first fight. And I think God wanted to make sure that Israel was ready to follow God even when it made zero sense. Because this thing of going through Canaan was not going to go well if they had to understand it all. If they had to rationalize everything God wanted them to do. And I'll say this, living a life of sanctification, if you're going to jump in this life, it isn't always going to make perfect sense to you, especially at first. Especially as you're still thinking as a lost person in a lot of ways, thinking the way you thought your whole life, thinking, approaching life the way you've approached life your whole life. At first, it's going to make no sense why God wants you to do this or that. But listen, in the end, it doesn't need to. Now, along the way, it'll make more sense. As you live the Christian life, you'll look back and say, ah, that's why God said to do that and that. That's going to happen along the way. And as you're able to understand more and more, God will reveal more and more to that. Just like our kids, as our kids grow up, I explain more and more to them about why I'm asking of them what I'm asking of them. But in the end, what matters is not that it makes sense to us. We have to get there. It doesn't have to always make sense to us. The only thing that you have to be sure of is that this process is what you know God has asked you to do. It doesn't need to make sense and from the world side, but I will tell you this, everything you do has to make perfect lock sense with the Word of God. You have to have clear, chained to the Word of God principles so to you know, I'm doing this not because in the end you know, it's going to benefit me this way or that way, and if I do this and down the road I'll be able to, all that is fine, but in the end, what you're doing is, I'm doing this because God's Word says this, and here's how it applies to my situation. And then I'm doing this because the Word of God says this, and here's how it applies to this situation. And so what you do does have to be rational. It just doesn't have to be rational based upon the trappings of our world. It needs to be rational based upon the worldview of the Word of God. And if it is, don't worry about it. It'll work out. If you know that God's Word says it, and you've prayed about it, and you've received counsel on it, and you know this is what God wants you to do, then you just trust and obey. See? Trust and obey. By the way, and if you know, just think of it this way. If you know for sure that God told you to do this, well then, it's actually way more irrational to say no. Right? You see? It's way worse to say, yeah, you know, I've been thinking, I have this plan. I have this plan, and it really looks good. But the reason I'm saying this is because I've heard this countless times. And you just got to shake them and help them. They say, I've thought of it, and it just really makes sense that I do this and this and this. But at the same time, I know God doesn't want me to. So I'm struggling. Why are you struggling? You know the Creator says no, and you think yes? That's irrational. He's God. It would have been way worse if Joshua said, now God, I know you said this, but I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. In our world's eyes, it's not. But if you're thinking right, it's totally irrational to know what God says, the Creator, and say, I have a better plan. How's your plan going? If you think it's going good, just give it a little while. It's not going to end up. You don't have to give it a little while. Don't do that. That was bad counsel. Don't wait. Don't figure it out. Just look at everyone else who's messed up their life by their way and understand this. God's ways are higher than yours. God knows better than you. I know this sounds like duh. But I think, you ever heard the term practical atheist? Where we say we believe God, but we live like we don't believe He even exists? And I think oftentimes we're practical atheists. And for me to say, God knows better than you, sometimes is very profound. It ought not to be. But I want to say this. God knows better than you. And that only matters when you disagree with Him. But when you disagree with God, remember this. God knows better than you. When God says, be kind to that person, and you say, no, that person deserves for me to blow him up, remember this, God knows better than you. You see. Whenever God says to be in church whenever you can, but you say, I've got this or this or that, remember this, God knows better than you. When God says, tithe 10% of your income, and you say, I can't afford it, God knows better than you, and God's the provider. You see? Over and over and over again, we come in this conflict. That's how it all started, right? God said, "Don't eat of the tree of fruit and evil." Tree of the fruit of good and evil. And what did they do? Well, I have a better idea. I'm going to go ahead and do it. But that's sin. But in the end, that's what sin is. I know what God says, but I think this. God knows better. Trust Him. And in the end, it's going to work out. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't know how long it's going to take for it to work out always. He told them there. We don't always know. And one more thing that's really cool. Remember this. Every time, you know, God had them go 6 times and then the 7th. You know where they went after they walked? They went and they walked around and they went back to camp. What was that camp? Do you remember what's that camp? The stones. Remember the stones? What are the stones all about? Well, whenever God parted the Jordan River. And so it's like they would go out there, they would do it, they might even get discouraged and say, I don't think God knows what He's doing here. And then they get back to camp. Oh yeah, He's the one that parted the river. And maybe that's a good indication for us that we need to be in the Word of God every day Because we live our life, we read the Bible in the morning, we know that God's in control, we get right with God, we go out, we live our life, and sometimes it doesn't make any sense, but then we come back, and then we look at the Word of God and we remember, oh yeah, God's the one who did that, God's the one who did that, God's the one who did that. And we need some stones from the river, don't we? We need to remember what God's done, and it'll help us. And so, what we need to do is, it's very easy, it's very easy. Hear what God says, and then do what God says. And it should be easy. It's not often, is it? What does it take? It takes us to trust and obey. Trust and obey. And God will see you through. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you that we can trust you. God, even when life seems so crazy and chaotic, even when things just make no sense, God, and we don't know where to turn. And God, even as we follow you day after day after day, and it even at times becomes a grind and we begin to lose confidence in you, in what you've told us to do, what you called us to, we begin to be discouraged. Lord, help us to remember that you're in control. Help us to remember that what matters here is not what we see and the results. What matters is if we're following you. Help us, God, to get in line with that, get in touch with that, and line our lives up with what you called us to. And then just trust you for it to bring the results. Lord, in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together for the Josh.